Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are very smart, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Thinking about when we were younger and how we both ran cross country, both in middle school and in high school.
Yeah, I ran in middle school. I don't know who started first.
Well, you definitely started first because I ran it because you were running it. And okay. You were actually a good runner and I was not. But as everyone knows, the thing about cross country is you don't have to, well, maybe not everyone knows this, but you don't have to be athletic to run cross country. You just have to kind of be like a person who has motivation, I guess, because like the more you do it, the more stamina you build up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I could have like qualified for any like team sports. So it's also like if you want to do a sport, it's a good one if you're not really good at more traditional types of team sports.
Well, the other thing is like I feel like you and our mom have a lot in common and I have a lot in common with our dad. For example, you and our mom are both really pretty good runners and you both are really fast readers. And me and my dad are both pretty good walkers. And like in terms of like, we can't run very fast or long. And we both are extremely slow readers.
Yeah. Well, I got into, I mean, I ran 4 marathons as an adult, but I wasn't running marathons.
Oh, yeah. Let's not slide past that. 4 marathons as an adult. Yes, I think I've seen you run the Philadelphia Marathon at least twice. Once?
Probably once. I only did that one once. I did Cleveland and I did New York a couple times. But cross country, I didn't take it as seriously. And I believe I got kicked off the team for like smoking or being in the bathroom and someone was smoking or something.
Smoking cigarettes?
I don't really remember. I mean, it was so long ago, but I remember I did something and kind of got kicked off the team. And then I really wanted to be in the picture for the yearbook and like they wouldn't let me. And I was like, thought it was totally unfair because I had like trained with them all. And looking back, I think I was also like, that was a time where I was transitioning into like not caring at all about sports and being just into music and guitar. So I think I was like upset. And then I was like, I don't care about any of this stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think this is the first I'm learning that you were kicked off the team. I think as I heard it, probably from you, like you just decided not to do it anymore. But I think I was at that point when you got kicked off, I was still in middle school running middle school cross country. And then because I don't know that we were ever on the high school team together. By the time I was in, I guess, 9th grade, you were no longer on the cross country team.
Yeah, but I think it wasn't really that big of a deal to me. Like, I don't think it was like a very dramatic thing. I think it was like, I was like, okay. I mean, I don't know. Aside from the yearbook situation, I guess.
Do you want to hear something really crazy about when I ran cross country, which I will likely ask to be taken off this podcast?
Sure.
But maybe not. My first race ever, I was running and I had to pee really badly. And I was like really focusing on like, you know, not peeing my pants. And it kind of slowed my time a little bit. So I remember Mr. Keller, otherwise known to us as Coach Keller, after the
race
was like, don't focus your energy on anything except running. So I took that to mean you can totally pee your pants while you're running. So I have to tell you, I think maybe every single race. Because also every other team had these short shorts they would run in. And we, for some reason, had like basketball shorts. We had like these really long shorts that honestly were great for a couple of things. One was hiding your pee. So I would literally pee in my pants every race. And I found it to be so freeing and fun. And it's so funny because there were like 2 or 3 other girls on the team and we would all do it. I mean, I think I probably did it the most because they were actually more focused on running and actually getting like good, like finishing in good times. And I was like so slow. But anyways, I was like, I got to focus on running. I can't focus. So I would pee in my pants every single race. And then I remember like I just assumed everybody knew about it. But they didn't. And then I remember like talking about it like our last race or something. And I feel like Lauren Merker and maybe a couple other people were like so freaked out because I was like, yeah, I pee in my pants every single race. It's so funny. and like everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, Vanessa, that's so crazy. And I remember one race, I peed in my pants twice during the race to the point where I was like, oh, these basketball shorts can't do everything. Like, they can hold some pee, but like you can't. Like, I remember running. And seeing like pee like coming out of the shorts and being like, okay, I've tested the bounds of these shorts. They can only handle so much.
Yeah, I never knew that. I mean, I've heard of like, you know, elite ultra marathoners doing that, you know, in the throes of like a serious competition. But
a 3.1 mile race, you haven't heard of that? A 5K?
No, not that I know of.
Well, you know, I guess elite can apply to a lot of different lengths of race.
Yeah, I do remember, I think before you were on team, we had a cross country coach who had like a beard and long hair, and we used to always go running in the woods, and like all of us used to joke that like he was gonna like hide up one of our bodies in the woods or something. Like
I think
yeah, like I remember that being like kind of like a bit, like I wasn't actually scared, but I remember that being a thing, like, uh-oh, we're going in the woods today, what's gonna happen?
I remember definitely getting lost in the woods one time. We were after school. We were like literally running in the woods by the school, and I got completely lost. And I remember Mr. Keller and Mr. Oberster and Kitty and like a few people like finding me. Like I just fully just, those paths were so kind of unclear where you were supposed to run. And I fully got lost like in woods that were like somewhere between the school and our house, like truly like the safest woods. But I was pretty freaked out by it. I think I was gone for like 2 hours trying to figure out where I was. And I had like gone so not far at all. Like,
yeah.
I was still like right next to the school. And I also remember, I just had this memory of Sam Wehner when he was like a senior and I was in ninth grade. I remember we were coming up with what we wanted the t-shirts to say for like our team t-shirts. And, you know, we would do like speed days where we would run really fast and do like shorter sprints. And then we would do long, slow distance days that we would call LSD days. And so he wanted us to have a shirt that said, when we're not doing speed, we're doing LSD. And the coaches wouldn't let us.
Wow. Our guest is
making
clever.
A peace sign because she knows how cool that is.
Hell yeah.
When we're not doing speed, we're doing LSD. Can you imagine a world where they would have been like, cool, let's print those?
Well, speaking of today's guest, Vanessa, do you want to give an intro?
Yes. Our guest today is an incredibly talented comedian, actor, writer, producer. She's brought her incredible skills to shows like Saturday Night Live and Shrill, and most recently, a little show I like to call I Love That For You. Please welcome our amazing and hilarious guest, Sudie Green.
Hi!
Hey, Sudie.
What is up? Oh my God, Vanessa, I can't believe you peed your pants that much.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It was like a pastime of mine. Here's the thing, is that I think we all smelled so disgusting from sweating and running that it was sort of like, you know, I mean, it was all the ingredients to make peeing in your pants unnoticeable. The basketball shorts and the you know, BO smell of everybody.
That's crazy.
Isn't that incredible?
I wonder, the cross-country guys in my high school were like the hot hippie guys who had like long surfer hair and like smoked weed, but also like took like AP psych.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were peeing their pants. They probably were. All of my crushes in high school peed their pants.
I felt like our cross country team was more kind of outcast. That's how I remember it a
little
bit.
Yeah. I remember it being a really nice group of people. Like it wasn't the like typical jocks. It was sort of, it was for people that kind of wanted to go off in the woods and you know.
I would say like people who swam also were cross country people.
Yes, for sure.
I did track in middle school. And
same.
It was partially to lose weight. Incredible.
Incredible.
I was getting a little thick. You know what I mean? I was kind of getting my little seventh grade curvy body, yada, yada. I think my mom was like, let's get this girl some cardio. And so it literally was like, this is like sad to say now, but it literally was like, okay, this will be good exercise for me. Like my mom and I like both agreed, like I needed it. So sad, so sad. And then I showed up and I ran for 2 weeks and then they immediately put me in shot put.
Oh man.
I was put in shot put.
I was like, you were?
Yeah, in middle school, I remember, because I was such a slow runner. And yeah, I think exactly. I did run like the mile maybe, because it was like, again, slow. But I was so bad at it that they were like, what else can we find for you?
It was so rough. And also my mom got mad because she was like, the whole point is that she gets the freaking cardio in.
Right.
And
shot put, you're just standing there.
You're just standing there and then you throw a heavy ball. It was also all girls with like my body type. It was so freaking lame. And then I quit because we had practice during the Friends finale and I missed it. And afterwards I was so emotional and I was like, I'm not even running and I missed the Friends finale. This is not for me. This is like
yeah.
The cost benefit analysis. It's not.
Well, I'm so with you. There's nothing more upsetting than when they take you to the shot put and they're like, do this. It feels so like, you know, you're after a meet or whatever, you're with your friends who just like, you know, expended all this energy running and you're like, But I actually, the reason I stopped doing it was because I was also, I think I would run like the 800 meter dash and the mile because I could really, because the quick stuff I was so slow at. And there was something that I felt so much pressure to be running those because you're running on a track in front of people the whole time. Mm-hmm. Whereas again, with cross country, you're like off
it's
in
anonymous.
The woods.
You can
Nobody
tease.
Sees you. You can
you
do
can
whatever
piss
you want.
Yourself.
Piss yourself. This, I found track to be so high stress that by the time I got to high school, I was like, I'm not doing track anymore. I'm just going to do cross country. But you're right. A lot of my friend Kitty, my friend Lissy, they both did cross country and swimming. I do think there's a lot of overlap.
I was kind of looked down on a little bit. I mean, I remember like talking to people who did other sports and being like, well, when we get in trouble in like football, we have to run laps. And that's like what you do, your whole thing. Like, how is that?
Yeah,
you
know?
And
right.
I remember being like, okay, like,
cool.
The other thing,
all right, great. Yeah, you love punitive systems then, yeah. Sir King.
Yeah.
Seek out that punishment structure, sir.
Yeah, I wish I had that line ready to go 20 years ago.
Wait,
25 years ago.
I just also had a truly visceral memory that I right before I got shot put. So I did my like middle school didn't really have sports, and so a lot of kids would go do sports in like the Catholic school system. Like you could just sign up. So I did like track with like a Catholic school called Holy Angels. And there were all these like hot little Catholic school girls that I was running with. And I finally, by being sorry, funny, and a little bit of a bitch, became friends with them.
Oh, great.
And there was this one girl who had red hair and she had like white eyeliner and she would like always like run with all of her jewelry on, which I thought was so glamorous. And her name was Corey. And she was like my in because she liked that I was like funny and again, a little mean. And then there were all these cute boys. And one time I was like getting water or whatever. And like this guy came up to me and he was like, you're friends with Corey, right? And I was like, yeah, I actually am. And then like the next day it was shot put time. They did me dirty. And that's actually wrong because that's not Christian.
That's not Christian.
Do unto others, you know?
Also like, yeah, that's really rude.
With the shot put, you have to like spin around with it. Is that
it has to like touch your neck and then you do okay. Like a weird little pivot from the waist and then
gotcha.
I also wasn't good at that. It's just like what?
What was yeah? What was there was also discus.
We didn't do that.
Discus was like you threw a disc.
Yeah, these are like stuff that's in the Olympics.
I was going to say I don't know if we had discus or if I'm just remembering it from the Olympics.
I think yeah. We didn't have a bobsledding team. We didn't have luge, unfortunately.
Well, also, okay, Jenna. Also, I remember being in middle school and it just being so embarrassing of like trying to figure out what your sport was. And I remember I just had a visceral memory of running down the hallways of our middle school going over those these mat hurdles. So they were like supposed to be like the actual hurdles, but they were made out of mats. So like if you tripped on them or you hit your knee on them, it like wouldn't hurt. And I remember like I could do them okay, but it was just like, what the hell? I have to jump over these things? That's so scary.
When were you guys like, Jonah, you talked about this, alluded to this earlier. When were you guys like, actually know the sports?
I think like probably around like 15, maybe around 15, 16. I feel like I got really into music and I got like a guitar. I remember trying out for the basketball team and not making it and then being like, well, I'm just going to play guitar anyways. And then absolutely not caring.
Yeah.
What about you, Vanessa?
I 100% was like out by like basically the end of middle school, except I tried swim team, I think in eighth grade, because all of my close friends were like swimmers, or a lot of them were swimmers. And I was like, this is a nightmare. Like, I'm not going to do this. But then, yeah, by the time I was in high school, I was like, I'm just going to do cross country. And I always would feel so much stress about doing it, because like before the meets or whatever, I would be so stressed out. And then I always, just because I loved my friends who were in it so much, I just kept, and I loved the coaches, I just kept doing it. But I also was like, I'm doing this because I want to be with my friends, but I will absolutely not, because they'd all be like, you should do track too. And I honestly, a recurring dream of mine is that I'm like trying to do track. Like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to do track. I'm not going to do anything else. I'll do cross country because I can do it slowly and it's fun. But that's all I'm doing. And then the other times of the year, I'm going to go to the JCC and do Joe's step class.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I was in field hockey my freshman year. And like, it was always like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. I was like, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. And then I was 15 and I was doing field hockey and I was just like having this moment on the field where I was like, this is so boring. People just run. I don't care. I don't care enough to even like run towards the ball. I'm not motivated to win. And I like said that to my friend afterwards. I was like, it's so boring and we just run and it's all for what? And people care that we win. Like, it means nothing. And then she was like, I'm having fun. And I was just like, it's just not for me. It's just not for me. And it's crazy because I'm such an insane athlete today.
Same. I'm such a huge athlete and everyone knows me so muscular. As that.
Same. Naturally.
That's just, I can't control it. But it is so funny. I do remember saying to people, like, I love the cross country team. I just wish we didn't have to do the meets. Like, I just like the part, like, I love being on the bus, especially after we were done with the meet. I love going to the dinners where we would carbo load the night before. And I would do that with my friends who were on the swim team. I'd be like, if you need to carbo load, even though I don't have a meet tomorrow, I'll go with you.
Like, we'd go to the
Olive Garden and we'd get like so much pasta.
Oh my God.
And that, I was like, this rules. I wish we didn't have to run tomorrow though. Like the running part I hated.
Can we do the part of the sports that's just like the spaghetti banquet and just like the fun paper plate awards? Because that's what I'm really into it for. I really like making the signs for the seniors.
That's the thing too, is like at the end of the season, we would get these awards. Mr. Keller would like give these like long awards to everybody. And like, I was like, this rules, because we get to hang out, get awards, eat food. We don't have to run. That was the part. That's why I know that I'm not an athlete. It's like, I do think to your point, like there were people who were like, the sports part of it is fun for me.
Yeah, I liked it. Like, I liked the competition part. I thought the races were fun. Yeah. Yeah. And as an adult, I found that fun. But I also,
like in the marathons, you found it fun? Is that what you mean by it as an adult?
Yeah. But I would run races like, in order to qualify for the New York Marathon, you have to run like 9 races. So I would do like a race every month. I thought they were fun.
You did the New York Marathon?
Yeah, I did. I did the New York Marathon twice when I was in New York. Yeah.
Okay, so you are an athlete.
This is an elite. My brother is an elite athlete.
Well, this was like
10
years ago, probably. So it was a while ago.
That is elite athlete time.
Now, so you, and you're trying to tell us that you ran 4 marathons and you never peed your pants during them?
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Interesting.
Yeah, but okay.
It's just because we come from the same genes. Okay, go ahead.
I did get in a paper plate award as an adult, though, which felt weird. When I was in my 20s, I got a paper plate adult for hanging up flyers for a local video store in Ithaca, New York. And they gave me this paper plate that said the Carrier Pigeon Award. And they had like written this thing, and I had to get it from this video store called College Town Video. And me and my roommate Bruce ended up using it as like a plate because we didn't have any clean dishes. And I remember him being like, we should use your award. And I was like, yeah, why not?
And then did you throw it out?
Yeah, eventually we threw it out. But the Carrier Pigeon Award came in a pin. But it did feel weird as an adult getting
did
like a paper plate.
Did you work for the video store?
I know this is a bit of a non sequitur.
You're a volunteer.
I worked, but they would put on like comedy shows and events, and I would hang up flyers for them on the bulletin boards throughout my school. And I remember one time they had this event that seemed like vaguely anti-Semitic, like it was like a weird kind of event. And I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to call the organizer and ask. So I called the person putting it on and like talked to him. And then I got this call from the video store owner being like, I had called Steven Spielberg or someone, like, how dare you call this person? And I was like, okay, this guy's like putting on like a local like event at like a small town college. But I remember like saying that at the time, being like, just totally being, but I remember them acting like it was like so
what
out of line.
What was the and event? Like a blue-eyed beauty pageant? Like,
it was like a comedy show, but it just sounded kind of weird. And I was like, before I start like littering my campus with these flyers, I kind of want to have a better understanding of like what I'm promoting.
It's a comedy show. And then at the end, somebody's going to come out there and talk about jeans and kind of which ones are better, which ones yeah. aren't. Maybe that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, it was something
and
weird.
And we talk about how to make sure your baby is blue-eyed.
Yeah, yeah. But wait, Jonah, to back up, so you did not work at the video store, you just volunteered for them?
No, I worked for them. I got paid to do these flyers, but it wasn't like a lot of money. And then yeah. I had another friend who worked, I don't know if you remember, my roommate Jay worked there, and they had... They would rent out PlayStations there, and I remember like kept trying to come up with these elaborate plans how we could like I could rent a PlayStation with a fake ID and then we could keep it or something. And Jay was not on board for this. We never did that.
Oh, those were your okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I worked there, but it was like very part time. It was like a couple hours a week.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. The CD Green. And we're back. Sudi, today you have brought in such a beautiful topic for us to talk about. You wanted to talk about burning CDs and the big book of CDs in your car growing up. And wow. Where to even start? Now, why did you want to talk about this topic? What does this mean to you?
Well, because I was just thinking about, I was trying to think about like high school specifically, because I actually like don't really identify with my early childhood.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about like how hard it was to get music, like how my sister is 4 years, 5 grades older than me. Okay. And when I was in high school, she had just started college, and she was cool. She was like an indie girl, very cool chick. She had like a nose ring. She dyed her hair with henna. She Whoa. Wore like kind of a cool, like Indian print dress to prom one year. You know, she was different.
Okay.
And she went to Smith, and when she came back from Smith, so I guess I was maybe in eighth grade and she was a freshman in college. And she showed me on my parents' home computer how to download from LimeWire okay. onto a blank CD. And okay. like almost definitely give the home computer a virus.
Right, of course.
Yes.
And it was like, and then she would like burn me these mixes and burn me all these different CDs. And it was like, Joanna Newsom and, you know, Peach Plum Pear, like Basement Jacks, like, I remember that was Air, you know, the Phoenix, like just all, and every time she came home, it was like, she was fully my music intro to all these different bands of the time. And I even like remember like those blank CDs and her handwriting on the CDs, like the skinny Sharpie, and my sister's great handwriting, and like just like this beautiful way like that we connected, and she like introduced me to all. And now my music taste sucks. Like now I only listen to Ariana Grande, but like for some reason when I was in eighth grade, I was like, have you heard the first Yeah Yeah Yeahs album? Like this was incredible.
You know, it's so, that's so interesting. That's so nice. I it's so funny because I feel like I was so influenced by Jonah with music, but because Jonah's taste was so extreme, like he was so into punk stuff, that I actually like became so into like female vocalists. Like I was listening to kind of the opposite of what he liked, except I feel like I kept it in a certain zone. Like I was really into Sarah McLachlan and Tori Amos and stuff, but I wasn't listening to like, you know, I wasn't openly listening to like Mariah Carey and stuff in front of you. Like I was trying to keep it kind of cool, but yeah.
Yeah, you had like a CD kind of boombox thing, right?
Didn't yeah, you? I had like a five or six CD changer, which I do remember would break all the time. And I remember that I was between getting that and getting like a Sony 3-disc changer. And you were like, definitely get the Sony one. It's much better quality. And you don't need to have five or six CDs in your CD changer at once. And I was like, I'm definitely going to get the five or six CD changer. That's by an off-brand that that I can put more CDs in it, and I don't even think I had five or six CDs. But I got that five or six CD changer, and I got Tori Amos's album Under the Pink, and that's kind of how I started with CDs.
Yeah, the CD changers were a big deal. Like I feel like people would have them in their cars, like in the trunk. You'd have to go in the trunk and put them in, and then I at one point got like 100 CD changer very briefly.
What? In high school? How old were you?
I don't remember. I remember having it in my
room. You couldn't have been that old because,
No,
how
I was like a teenager.
How did it work?
You basically like, you loaded them in like vertically, like it was sort of,
yeah,
and then this thing rotated, but it was so hard. It was like, you didn't really, you had to, like, I don't know how you could tell which CD was which. You kind of, so it was like really confusing.
Because like the internet didn't really exist, so they couldn't like,
You kind of had to remember or write it down. I only had it for like a couple days. I think I sort of was like, yeah, this is just like way too confusing. I don't know how I got it, where I got the money for it. I mean, I must have bought it with my, I was working at Kids R Us at the time.
Yeah. You had that Kids R Us money.
Yeah.
So it must have been.
The flex of the changer. I think I missed that. I think I missed that. Like, we had like a six, our like family CD player in the living room, which we like only ever played like Nat King Cole's Christmas album and like the one Norah Jones CD when my parents had a party.
I think all parents played Norah Jones when they had a party.
It was like Norah Jones. We like it too. Like
She's young, but she's good for us.
Yeah, but she's Ravi Shankar's daughter. You know, did you know that?
I think I forgot that. Yeah.
We had a six CD, but I had like a little blue, like a baby blue Panasonic boombox in my, that I think like everybody had, honestly, like all my friends had it.
I've seen it
in my room. And, also like I was kind of hiding this duality. Cause like you, Vanessa, like I wanted to listen to, because I had an older sister, like I wanted to listen to Britney Spears. I wanted to listen to Christina Aguilera, but she was so like, that's not cool. And you gotta listen to like Beck. You can only listen to Beck. And I'm like, well, I'm seven. So I don't really care about like, you know, sea change, but sure. So like my like CD collection was like pretty trying to be cool stuff that I actually genuinely like liked. Like I feel like I discovered like White Stripes, maybe I was in like sixth grade or something. That was like, that was it. You know what I mean? But then like, there was also like the Moulin Rouge soundtrack, which I was definitely playing like way more than other things. Sound of Music soundtrack, like the Rugrats movie soundtrack, a lot of movie soundtracks and a lot of a lot of like musical soundtracks next to like, you know, the first Mira album.
Oh,
like, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So she contained multitudes. But like when I had that like CD book in my car and like friends would be in the back seat or whatever and looking through, there was no Moulin Rouge in that.
Right, exactly. You kind of had to hide that. Yeah. Or be known as someone who, yeah, I was the same. Like, I would pick from Jonah's bands that I could actually listen to that I found palatable. Like, that's why I was into Jimmy Eat World, and I was into, I was always into Bad Religion. And remember, Jonah, you got me a shirt at their concert once. And yeah, I think Rancid, there were like a few bands that I could like kind of get behind, but, and I would try.
So you're peeing yourself, like listen to Rancid.
Piss in my pants. Well, unfortunately, we weren't allowed to listen to music during cross country races. But it's funny, like if I would go running on my own, like if I was like training or something, there was no peeing in my pants. It was truly only.
It
was truly only during the race. And by the way, we've now spoken about it enough that there's no way we're taking it out.
Sudi, I looked up, I was just so curious about what was on the Rugrats soundtrack.
Yeah, it was
and
good.
I will say, there's actually some pretty credible stuff on here. Like Lenny Kravitz, Lisa Loeb, Lenny Kravitz with Iggy Pop together, Devo.
Maya. No like Doubt. Early Maya track, No Doubt.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, I feel like soundtracks, especially...
Yes.
Were such a big thing, like you know, like the Batman soundtrack or like the single soundtrack or like Judgment Night or all these soundtracks were so
Empire State. Records, Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were
big. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have like a pretty fun surprise, you guys. I found my book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
And I just want to go through some of the highlights here.
Vanessa's holding up her CD booklet.
Okay.
These look like a lot of official CDs, not burned. Oh, no, that one's burned.
Yeah, a lot of them are... No. This one, it just says Vanessa Bayer.
You just wrote your name on the CD.
On the case.
Okay.
Oh, something fell out. Jimmy starts with Jimmy Eat World, Bleed American. So I must have gotten that a little later. Mazzy Star, So Tonight That I Might See. I'm not going to read through all of these. Madonna Immaculate Collection. I have
incredible. Incredible.
Right?
Immaculate Collection, I will still go to today. And Madonna yes. is one of those things where, like, I don't know that I know all of the words.
Exactly.
And then
when you hear the song,
like,
you know it all.
Words.
I went to a Madonna concert a few years ago, and I was like, I know every song, except for the new songs. But every song that... Every song that would have been on the Immaculate Collection CD, I knew. I have an Alanis Morissette CD because I don't know if... I was never like, I mean, I love Alanis Morissette now, but I was never like a huge Alanis Morissette person. But our mom, like every year for like Hanukkah or whatever, she always just assumed that I was because I like so many female vocalists. So this Alanis Morissette CD, Jagged Little Pill Acoustic, is definitely from our mom.
Tenacious. That's sweet that your mom was like thinking about that. She was
yeah,
like, this is for my
it's
little.
It's very sweet, right?
Indie girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say Tenacious D?
Tenacious D.
Yeah, that was huge. That was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Jonah got me into that. Now, this says for my little sister with love, but I know it was from my sorority sister when I was in it for 1 year because it's from 2001 and I immediately dropped out of that sorority. Okay.
Was it because of the CD?
Probably. No, it was because I hated it. Jewel, Pieces of You.
100%.
Here's a burn CD, The Raging Dance Party featuring Spoon, Clem Snide. Oh, I think this is from this guy, Joran, from my improv team.
Yeah,
I think
Spoon this and is, Clem Snide does not sound like a Raging Dance Party to me.
Yeah, The Shins.
Yeah.
This Decemberists doesn't sound like a Raging Dance Party.
Oh my God.
Maybe sang it ironically.
Yeah. Madonna, Something to Remember, another Jewel CD. Oh, this is the other thing, is that Jonah... used to send me these, like, what would you call them? Like, this is what this is. These, like, single CDs that would get sent to you when you were working at AP Magazine.
I would get promo CDs because I worked at, like, a music magazine.
Yeah.
So if it was something Vanessa would be into, I'd send it to her. Yeah, I guess.
Singles?
They were, like, the full album, but it was, like, I would get it really early.
Oh, it was like a screener, but for CDs.
Exactly.
Wow, industry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Music label. The world of spin and... You know, music journalism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, this is actually a DVD, Bloomers of the Caribbean, from my all-female sketch comedy and musical parody group, Bloomers. This is another Jonah. This is another Jonah. I won't stay here for too long, you guys, but this is another Jonah. Vagrant Records, Heroes and Villains sampler. I can guarantee you I never listened to this.
That's a classic. That's a classic. Okay. That's a punk classic compilation. Yeah, maybe okay. I gave you this stuff later or something. I must have had it lying around.
Well, you used to send me stuff if you had like the, oh, this is Jonah's band, The Love Kill.
Aww. Oh, yeah, that's our EP. That's, yeah, not a lot of those. Well, probably worth at least 50 cents.
I still got it in this book. Ultimate 80s mix from my friend Kitty.
Nice.
Oh, look. Songs inspired by Philippe Lavertue, who we used to always make fun of for being so 80s.
I like Philippe.
Yeah, well.
Who's Philippe?
He was
He's this
a guy
who went to
Jonah's
high school.
Great.
He was a friend of mine. We used to play
so
guitar together.
Yeah. Cool.
We always found his style to be dated.
I thought it was like somebody I should know.
First CD.
No, probably not unless you went to our high school. There's no.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I went to your high school.
Yeah, I don't think you, so. Yeah.
This is one that I think our parents got for me for Hanukkah one year because I specifically requested it. Monster Ballads. This is one you had to buy off the TV.
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing, too. Those commercials. And then you'd have to pay like $40 for a compilation CD.
This was a cool. Okay.
Wait, Sudi, what were you going to say?
Sorry.
Vanessa, I think you're getting a little too into this. I know. We have a guest. I'm not sure if you remember that. I'm going to put it away for a second. Yeah, maybe
we
put
can
it
come
away.
Back to it.
What was I going to say? God.
Monster Ballads compilations.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when it was like Now, you could order them now. And then they got up to like Now 20. And I was like, when are they going to stop?
Yeah.
How many Nows are there going to be? And it's like, well, it was just the music of today. But that was one of my early observational comedy pieces. Hello.
That is really good. And, you know, I feel really like good. They don't do it as much anymore. But I definitely remember doing parodies on SNL of like those compilation albums that they would sell only on TV. Yeah.
Well, there's so many things on SNL that are like, these aren't on TV anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we are still doing these
commercials.
Yeah,
but we're still doing them because people get it and it's like, still funny.
Infomercials. I mean, like, every commercial on TV now is like a short film about an old person.
Totally.
You know, so now, like.
Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say that our producer, Olivia, just said we're up to now 110. Is that right?
110 minutes?
Meaning it's number 110.
Now that's music 110.
Now that's music 110. As in 110 different versions have come out. Volume 110.
I thought that she meant we had been talking for an hour and 10 minutes.
No.
And I was like, I got to wrap it up.
Yeah. What if she was like, we're now at 110.
Who's buying the Now album?
I kind of am curious what's on Now 110. Olivia, could we get a quick rundown of track list of?
Well, I guess there's spinoffs. There's Now, that's what I call Christmas Now.
Oh, right, yeah. And I wonder if those count towards the volume number. They might not. There might be Christmas 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean? Ed Sheeran, Bad Habits. Okay, that's on Now.
That's
on 110. That's
Now
Elton John and Dua Lipa, Cold Heart.
It's called Spotify Teen Beats. Okay, that's what I do. I go to Spotify. I want to say, what's happening right now? I turn on Teen Beats.
That's so smart. Because the thing is, I feel like I don't know any current music except
I'll do Teen Beats. I'll do Teen Party. I'll do sometimes if I'm feeling a little moody. Drinking a glass of wine, making a little pasta for myself. I'll turn on a Sad Girl Starter Pack.
I love
that. Okay, that was a recent one for me. Phoebe Bridgers.
I'm going to write that down.
And the like.
I'm going to write that down. There's nothing I like more than a woman singing a depressing song. It's all I want.
But that's like, you know, that was like, we're not in the time of playlists. Although I have had some playlists, like I would say in the last 5 years, but I think that they were, you know, mostly like romantic gestures, and then they kind of just feel like homework a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I do sort of like, unfortunately, my music taste has devolved, and I only want to listen to computer sounds. Like, yeah. I want, give me Pop Princess Computer all the time.
Well, I actually think that that's really cool of you, because I have done the opposite thing of, like, I have started listening so much to, like, 90s music and 2000s music in a way that is, like, why don't I just adjust with the times and not be so stuck in my ways?
You know what's a good Spotify playlist is Lilith Fair. That'll take ya.
I don't know if you know this, and we've talked about it on here before, but Lilith Fair is the first concert I ever went to. Jonah won the tickets on the radio.
You did? Did Jonah take you to a lot of concerts?
You know what's interesting? He hasn't taken me to a lot of concerts that were like, this band is currently playing their new album. He's taken me to a lot of concerts that were either Lilith Fair, which he won on the radio again, and he had his first cappuccino at Lilith Fair from a cappuccino machine. I'd had many a cappuccino, but at that time. But anyways, and then he's taken me to a lot of like Guns N' Roses or
Poison. We saw Poison. I won those on the radio too.
Were those like your first concerts or no?
No, this meaning like recent. Guns N' Roses or Poison, like reunion kind of shows. Ooh. Where it's like, I guess Poison was actually mostly the whole band, but it was like Skid Row didn't have Sebastian Bach, was playing with them. I think Motley Crue was playing, but it was just Vince Neil and nobody else. And then we went and saw Guns N' Roses, and it was mostly, although Guns N' Roses actually might have been playing new stuff, that might have actually been not just a reunion. Jonah, am I right?
Well, yeah, that was, we saw them during their kind of a weird period for the band.
Yeah.
Whereas like Axl Rose and like a bunch of other guys. Whereas now like Slash is back in the band and Duff, and you have more of like the classic lineup.
Slash is back?
Yeah, he's been back in the band for like the last 3 years, 3 or 4 years.
Okay, hey, where
never
have
knew
I been?
Slash went away.
Yeah.
Never knew Slash went anywhere.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he was kind of doing the snake pit. He was doing his own thing. It's interesting because I just reread Slash's memoir recently.
Ooh, reread.
Reread, yeah. I read it when it came out. And
when did
about
it come out?
Probably about 10 years ago or so. And I reread it, and it was like interesting because a lot of it was like, stop asking me about Guns N' Roses. I'm never going to be back in the band. I'm doing Velvet Revolver now. Velvet Revolver, we just put out this amazing record. And then, yeah, and then, you know, he's back in the band. Well, Scott Weiland, who was a singer for Velvet Revolver, passed away.
Yeah, and that's so sad. Our hometown, right? Isn't he from?
He's from near Sugar Falls, yeah. And then, and now he's back in the band. So it's like, you know, who's
Slash
who
is back.
This?
Yeah. Slash is, you know, back, I yeah. wonder if Slash is calling his book publisher going, hey, could you take out chapter 3, the part where I talk about Never Run Back Guns N' Roses?
Probably, yeah.
This has been an emotional roller coaster with me and Slash.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Because I didn't know any of this.
Yeah. Ugh. You should
How
read
do
the book.
Feel you should no. read the book.
No,
never will. Don't really. Kind of getting him mixed up with Keith Richards in my head right now. So
I mean, this comes up on the podcast all the time. I read so many music memoirs, and I'm actually reading one now for the drummer Semisonic.
Whoa, Closing Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jonah, I didn't know you were a Semisonic
fan.
I'm
not, but I will just read any music industry, especially from the 90s book. I find them to be so entertaining to like look back on that, like the era of CDs and all this stuff. And he's talking so much about radio play and like CD sales and all this stuff that is like not really a
so
thing anymore.
It's so crazy. It's just completely changed. It's just completely changed. Like I remember when like Spin stopped. Like, remember Virgin Records? Like no more.
No more.
That whole culture, like, of like CD stores. I mean, like now I guess people are into vinyl, but like that was and video stores. God, you know, things change. And kind of that's what the podcast is about, I'm assuming.
That's exactly right.
And they evolve. They really brought a full circle and they evolve. And I actually have a piece in Spin right now.
Spin Online.
Yeah. Thanks to Dan, my editor, for running it. And it's an interview with Jason Isbell, who's a really great songwriter.
What would you say of all of the rock memoirs you've read? Would you recommend as like your number one? I know, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Some of them are really bad. Like some of them are very poorly written.
And I know you're also a person who will read stuff that you think is bad because you think it's funny.
Yes. Yeah. So I've read like a lot of, like
you've watched entire series of TV shows too, yes, that you thought, yeah, were bad just because you wanted to make fun
like
of
like Joey, okay, Kramer, the drummer for Aerosmith's memoir. Like, okay, not the best.
Okay.
I think actually Laura Jean Grace's book, her memoir Tranny that you wrote with Dan Ozzie, is a really good one. That's, yeah, a very well written and super interesting one. So I would recommend that one. But from like the older school ones, I think that Keith Richards one, Life one, is pretty legendary. The Slash one is cool. Duff, yeah, is a cool one. I mean, I don't know.
We love Duff.
We love
from
Duff.
GNR, Guns That's N' Roses. Right.
I definitely know who all these people are. Yeah. And definitely going to pick up the books to find out more.
Sudi's going to read all these books by the next time she's on the pod.
Books and talk
also,
about.
Also, I didn't mean to imply that Spin was done. I meant the physical.
No, physical copies. Yeah, yeah.
It is done. The magazine is gone. The online presence still lives on. I didn't know that.
A lot of magazines have moved from print to online. Yeah,
it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. No, honestly, no. Sudi, I'm glad you said that because then we got to learn it is online.
Which, no, I definitely knew that. And I definitely knew all the guys
testing the audience. Did you guys get it or not?
And the girls. And the girls.
Yeah, and the girls.
After this break, we'll be back with Sudi Green.
And we're back. Now, before we play a quick game, Sudi, I would like to talk about the moment when you and Jonah first met, which some might think was on this podcast, but they would be wrong.
Wow. Okay. This is the story of how Jonah and I first met.
Okay.
It was an SNL after party. And I was solo dolo. I was going from the after party to the second location, which was going to be Drake's after party that was going to be at Dave & Buster's.
Yes.
And we were walking out together. And, Vanessa, you were with Jonah and you were also with your friend who I'm a huge fan of, Jenny Lewis.
Oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Speaking of this era, I mean, this is a little bit later than this era of me talking about, but like Rilo Kiley, Jenny Lewis, it's the music of my coming of age. Truly, truly,
I love
truly.
That. Yeah.
And like the fact that I mean, you know, I know you're tight with her and so like maybe I should be cool about it. No, I'm not going to be cool about it. Like rabbit fur coat, forget it. Forget it. Forget it.
The way that Jenny and I met was was me fangirling out on her when she did my brother and I's web series. And I asked her so many questions about Troop Beverly Hills in a way that you would have thought afterwards she would have been like, I'd like to never talk to you again.
But she's
then
cool.
We stayed in touch.
She's cool. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we became friends with her, and then she moved to New York for like 6 months or something. And it was this weird period where I felt like we were just like
hung out with her.
Yeah,
all
either
the
forgetting
time.
A beer or something. Yeah.
This is the story. Vanessa is walking out with Jonah, Jenny, and maybe some other people.
I think Miles. I think
and
our friend
you
Miles.
Didn't have enough spots, maybe in your car, and I had called an Uber, and I was like, you know, somebody can come in my car. It's just me. And there was this moment, and I don't even really think it was a moment, but like in my head, it was a moment of like, Jenny Lewis and I are about to split a car together. And then like, you kind of all like looked at each other. And then it was like, Jonah, you go soon.
Oh.
But not that Jonah, well, you know what I am going to say, Jonah, you're a lovely guy. You didn't write rabbit fur coat, okay?
I get it. I totally agree.
Lovely,
I totally agree.
Lovely, lovely man. And then, so then Jonah and I are making, it was like a very short Uber ride. We're making small talk. So that was kind of emotionally where Jonah and I were as we entered like probably the most insane party I've ever
That was
been
a weird
to.
Party. I remember, yeah, I remember there were like free video games. That was really...
You could play free video games, but it was also like he flew in strippers from some club that I think he owns, but I could be wrong. There was also sort of a DJ maybe and a dance floor and the strippers were like dancing and doing cool stuff and all the SNL dorks were like... Yeah, we were like all playing the games. We were like, how many tickets do you have left? I have to get more tickets. So, Sudi, we're going to play a game with you now. We like to call Back to the Present.
Jonah and Vanessa, we've got to go back to the present.
So the name is obviously a hilarious take on this nostalgic Back to the Future franchise. in this segment, we get to each say something from our childhood that we wish would come back. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that has like gone away, but it's just like if you can think of a thing that you loved when you were a child that you wish would like kind of make a comeback, as so many things do. That's what this is. So Jonah and I are going to go first to give you a little bit of time to sort of think of yours. But Jonah, do you want to go first with yours?
Yeah, I can go first. So my pick for today for Back to the Present is Gushers Fruit Snacks.
Yes.
Sudi, you familiar?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Okay. Great. So yeah, so I did some research. I think they're discontinued. You know, apparently you can, there's some videos on how to make your own Gushers.
Okay.
You can't get Gushers anymore?
Well, I guess you can get them like...
It's unclear. It's really unclear.
I think they're harder to find. Like, I don't think they're everywhere. In 2017, General Mills eliminated artificial colors and flavors from Fruit by the Foot, Gushers, and Fruit Roll-Ups.
Boo!
So that was a big change to their snack line. But I found a lot of videos. I think they're hard to find, at least, because there's a lot of videos on how to make your own... someone made some champagne mimosa Gushers that look very disgusting. And I also did find that Gushers do have a Twitter account with 25,000 followers. And I find these, I talk about this all the time, I find these corporate Twitter accounts to be like so gross.
So the Gushers, sorry, I just to be clear. And sure. For anyone who doesn't know, Gushers were like a fruit snack that had like liquid in the middle of the flavor of the fruit snack. And just to be clear, this Twitter page is made by the Gushers company. It's not like a fan page.
Yeah. So made by the Gushers company. And so like, they'll be like, it's a Gushers for breakfast kind of day. Or like, or they'll tweet with like Sour Patch Kids, or like they'll make, I don't know. They have this whole thing about red Gushers, like
corporate America pandering to people. Yeah. It's
like, there'll be someone holding a bag of red Gushers. And the Gushers will write vibe check, elite status, and like emoji. I mean,
that's not how Gushers talk.
I know. Gushers are trying way too hard. It's like, hey, why don't you guys try getting in some stores?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Instead of trying to look
say
cool.
That. Say that, King. Yeah. Say that.
Make it easier to find you and buy you, and stop making it easy to make fun of you.
Yeah. Exactly. So I know it really sounds like a long burn on Gushers. This is supposed to be something I want to bring back. So I'm going to say that I do have fond memories of eating them when I was a kid. And I do like that they're doing something different with the texture.
Right, right.
So I'd like to bring them back, but bring them back like less of the marketing, more of just like the product. And let's keep it, you know, just about the snack, not about the image.
I get that. Okay, so you want to bring Gushers back. Now, I'm going to give my pick. My pick is a little known TV show, actually, that was actually very popular, that I really loved and that I think really stands up. And that show was Blossom. Now, I don't know if you both watched it or not, but Blossom is an American sitcom that aired for 5 seasons on NBC from July 1990 to May 1995. It starred Mayim Bialik as Blossom, or she played an Italian-American teenager. It was just kind of about her coming of age. Her older brother, Tony, was a recovering alcoholic and drug addict who eventually became a paramedic. Joey, played by Joey Lawrence, was the middle child, was a stereotypical dumb jock known for the exaggerated delivery of his catchphrase, "Whoa!" You know, Blossom, you know, look, her best friend was Six Lemure, played by Jenna Von Oy, who I think I can comfortably call one of my friends. And look, it was an incredible show. And it really was funny, and it had some really hard jokes in it. It had some emotional moments in it. Her boyfriend, her, you know, dealing with her boyfriend, Vinny, who I remember there was like a lot of talk, is she going to have sex with Vinny? And they never really told you. They never really told the audience whether she did or not. And it was just a really, and Vinny, the actor who played Vinny, was the lead actor on Hey Dude. So like, look, it was a great show, and I guess I wish it would come back.
That's awesome. Mayim Bialik is back though.
Yeah, Mayim Bialik is back.
She's back in a big way. She's in like a commercial for like brands or something, like a vitamin commercial.
She was on that show,
Big Bang.
And then now she has a show called Call Me Cat. She's in the second season of starring in another sitcom. She's doing great.
And the Jeopardy thing, right?
And she's a neuroscientist.
She studied neuroscience when she was done with Blossom.
But when you say you want to bring Blossom back, do you want it like Blossom with like new teenagers or Blossom like with the original cast? Like, here's what we're doing as adults.
That's the thing, Jonah, is I want it to come back the exact same way.
The exact same way. So the same characters, but being the same age they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. That's tougher to pull off. But they did that. They can do that in movies now. Maybe they could do that.
Yeah,
for the
maybe
show.
They could do it. I just, it was a really good show. And I have heard, like, you know, look, I haven't heard this from necessarily like a source that I can say, like, this source knows. But I do feel that there have been efforts to bring it back that have not been, I think that they've had, like, they've talked about bringing it back and it hasn't. Networks haven't agreed to do it, but it's like, for all the stuff they bring back, that they wouldn't bring that show which was truly funny. And again, I know that there's details, like, as you just pointed out, like, everybody's older and different now, you know, they might not want to do it. If you recast it with younger people, would it be as good, you know? And those are hard things to figure out, and I do get that, but I still miss it and wish it could come back.
Sudi, were you a Blossom fan at all?
I feel a little old for you, not to
I
be.
Did watch Blossom reruns on Nick at Night. But I was more of a Clarissa Explains It All girl.
Oh, my God.
I liked her clothes.
Yeah.
Also a great
show. Kind of similar-ish in format and vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. And both kind of unique young women that were sort of...
Who weren't afraid to wear a hat.
Who weren't afraid to wear a hat, honestly.
Clarissa felt a little more indie to me. Like, I thought she would wear, like, a Nirvana shirt or something.
Mm-hmm. My friend and I would watch, because it was, like, all reruns at that point, but my friend Lara Santerre and I would watch Clarissa and, like, draw fashion in our notebooks with our colored pencils. So like, we, like, try and draw, like, a Clarissa Explains It All outfit. Be like, we're designers.
That's very cute. And cool.
Cool.
Now, Sudi, do you know, have you had time to think of what you would like to bring back?
Yeah, I've had a lot of time. And I've decided that this is very random, but I would like the band Soul Decision to come back. Sticking with the music theme, they had one song. And it was like, can't stand to feel all right. Think another man move tonight. Can't pretend when you're holding my hand that you're your body tight. I like the way you make me move. You know that song?
Yes, 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 yes.
At the end of the day, I'm making a day. Okay, so first of all, Faded. The song is called Faded. They had that one song. The main guy, extremely cute, was sort of like making me feel a certain type of way. Like, you know, like my mouth hurts, you know,
right.
All of a sudden, kind of looking at that young man and his little... I remember the music video very clearly. It was like a lot of teal, purple, silver motifs. kind of very like new millennium. There was sort of like those like blurry kind of Minority Report lights in the background. Like, it's a subway from the future.
Right, 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 right.
And they were very cute. And I remember thinking like, this is a boy band, but they're kind of more band than boy.
Uh-huh.
And that was like a big reason why I love them. And I was like really invested in Soul Decision. I was like, this song slaps. This is kind of the best. The next best thing, and honestly, yeah, they're sort of a boy band, but I think they play instruments and they kind of rock.
Yeah.
And then we never heard of them again. They did not have other singles, to my knowledge. I have not had time to research this. But I would say that when I was thinking of this time, I was like,
yes.
Wow, that song was so huge for me. And like, what happened?
I would
say shout out to the Soul Decision boys. I don't want to Google what they're doing today.
Yeah, yeah. What year do you think that song came out?
I'm just going to guess that it was 2002.
Two? Okay.
Was the song?
It was Faded by Soul Decision.
Faded, yeah. It looks like it came out in 99.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense because I was like kind of like just starting to get horny.
Got it.
You also didn't mention that it's spelled Soul Decision, one word, all lowercase, except the D in decision.
Well, I didn't know how to read back then.
Is the S lowercase?
The S is lowercase too, yeah.
Okay, so just, I, Sudi, thought you were going to say Soul Asylum, and I was like, whoa.
Don't know what that is.
Okay, good. I think that's fine.
Legendary Minneapolis rock band.
Yes. Yeah.
You guys are cool.
Oh my God, Sudi,
I think,
cool.
I think we're just older.
That's, I think we're just older, yeah.
I think we just have different references. But yes. This,
you guys remember 9/11?
Yeah.
Remember it, yes. They also had another hit, I guess. Ooh, It's Kind of Crazy. That was 2001.
Oh, Ooh, It's Kind of Crazy. I've been thinking, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Go and marry Smoke.
I feel like I knew these songs because when I was in college, they were out. Or maybe I was in a senior in high school / college, and they'd play them at Smokey Joe's on my campus.
Kind of the teen beats of the time.
So, Sudi, was your sister still making you mixes at the time you were getting into Soul Decision, or was that?
Oh, yeah.
That was my secret passion.
Okay.
I would say that was kind of the stuff I was not sort of feeling allowed to bring forward.
Got it.
Maybe that's why today I only listen to like Dua Lipa.
Right. You feel empowered to do it, and who cares? I don't care if people judge me. That's
also Dua Lipa is. Nobody can judge me because that's genuinely incredible music.
Yes. But, an incredible performer.
I'm a
incredible
full
music.
Pop princess now.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you for gracing us with your pop princess / cool emo cool vibe today on the podcast.
Thanks. I'm an emo pop princess. Thank you.
Oh my God. Well, this was really fun. Thank you so much, Sudi. Now, Sudi, where can people find this hot pop princess in the world?
You can find me at Sudi Green on all socials, and I have nothing else to promote except myself.
And guess what? That is more than enough.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Sudi, for coming by. If you like this podcast, you can subscribe to it. You can leave us a review, a nice review. If you're going to leave us a mean review, don't even bother.
Yeah, because, yeah, guess what? We won't read them. Guess what? Actually, we did read them. We talked about it. We thought we don't even care. Is the truth?
Yeah. We'll be back next week with another podcast where we talk about another touchstone from our childhood, such as burned CDs.
Woo! Are you going to?